share one of those with us or any of it?
Like every time I go somewhere, I get that, but I don't always listen.
Uh-oh.
And whenever I don't listen, I feel like I cheated myself out of something, because I did. And it's just whenever you get the feeling to pray for someone, just say what the Holy Spirit like tells you to say, because it hits no matter what. Like, you might not even know what you're talking about, but if the Holy Spirit's telling you to say it, then they'll understand it.
True. You know, I'm going to use a silly example, but let's suppose that you went in somewhere and somebody's talking about something, and you just hear in your mind, you hear, go up to them and say, green eggs and ham, Sam, I am. You're like, that'd be hard to obey, wouldn't it? If you felt like God wanted you to go say that to somebody, wouldn't that be hard to obey? You'd think, they will think I am nuts. Well, they may already think that. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't really matter what they think about you. It matters what you think about you, and it matters what God knows about you. So really, you got to kind of come to that place where you go, I don't care. Here's, Monica would know this. Tina may even know it too from having heard it. You say, well, what if that's not God? And the proper response is, what if it is? What if it is? That's my, the Lord gave me that years ago to get me over the hump. It's like, well, Tyler, you're out and about. You all are getting ready, these young people, they're getting ready to go back to school. You want to talk about mission field, baby? That is a mission field, for sure. And by law, they have the right. If you didn't know this, students have a right to take their Bible to school, any school, public school. They have a right to pray in school. They don't have a right to cram their faith, their religion, down everybody else's throat. But no one has the right to take your relationship with God away from you while you're there. You don't have to lay your Christianity at the door, outside. But when you come in and act like you're not Christian, you can pray. You can read your Bible during your time after you finish your work and stuff. If anyone's allowed to read anything during that time, you are allowed to read your Bible if you choose to do so. Boy, I was like, I wish I would have known this stuff back in my day. I might have been reading it for the wrong reasons. I don't know. I'd have been reading it just to see what happened, but no, you can read it and read Christian books. Bring your own books. You don't have to just check books out of school libraries. Some of the books in the school libraries are not worth checking out unless you were going to have a book burning. And you can't do that, by the way. That's not the way to get them out of the library. The way to get them out, and on that note, listen, we need young people to stand up. We need young people in our schools to have your eyes open and your ears open. And be watching for other students that may be troubled. You know, there's a lot. Don't ever shun someone. If someone's being shunned by others and you look at them and you think, man, you might even think they are so weird. They're so, no wonder nobody wants to be their friend. Well, you know what? They might be acting weird because no one has befriended them. And as a Christian, one of the most powerful things we can do is show somebody the love of God. Just, if nothing else, just by smiling at them, being friendly, invite them to come have lunch with you. If they're setting off by themselves, you don't know. You may be saving their life, and I'm going to just say it this way. I'm not speaking anything over you, but you might be saving your own. Because if we share the hope that is in us with other people, there are a lot of hopeless people in the world. There are a lot of people that don't have answers. They don't believe they can hear from God. They may not even believe there is a God. But if you walk around, if we walk around in our lives living in the presence of God, ready to, like Tyler was talking about, hear the Lord and respond, even if it's intimidating, I go back to my silly little example. I feel like the Lord telling me to go up to this cashier in Walmart and say, green eggs and ham, Sam, I am. Like, why in the world would God have me to say that to anybody? Well, here's what you don't know. That morning, that young mother who was getting ready to go to work at Walmart was sitting with her 4-year-old, wishing that things in her life was different. And she was reading a book called, whatever that, Green Eggs and Ham. silly thing, huh? And then she just literally in her heart cries out, and she goes, God, if you know about me, if you're there for me, God, I just need to know it. I just need to know it. And she goes to work at Walmart. And you walk up to her here, 2 hours later. And you walk up to her and you just say, I know this is going to, you might say it this way. I know this is going to sound crazy. But I believe the Lord Jesus told me to come over and say to you, green eggs and ham, Sam, I am. I guarantee you her heart's going to just melt. And she is going to immediately know that God is speaking to her. And what did God say? Did God say, green eggs and ham, Sam, I am? No, God said, I hear you. I know you. I see you. I love you. It's not what you say that matters so much. It is being a willing vessel to just speak up when he says to speak up. A smile can mean so much to someone. I remember going in, ministering into the prison at the Oklahoma, at Granite, Reformatory at Granite, State Prison, one of the, not the most lockup one, but one of them. I mean, they don't have people in there for playing patty cake wrong. And we were going in there having chapel services week after week after week after week after week. It's like the second year we'd been doing that. And I'll go in there one night. I go in there and I'm literally by myself. The other people who had been going with me couldn't go. So I go in there and we're going to do the chapel. The inmates provided the music. They did amazing. We had a wonderful church. We get done. I come back up into this lockup. This is called a rotunda. Before you get out the main gate, you got to buzz through one gate, go into this big holding area, and then you get buzzed through another gate before you can go out. Because this is a high security prison. Well, I get buzzed into this open area, and here's this guy over there sitting on a bench, and he's a great big dude. He's all tattooed up and whatever, and I mean, he looks rough. I mean, whoa, intimidating. And so I'm kind of just minding my own business. Walking through there, got my Bible in my hand, got my guitar, walking through there, minding my own business, and the guards at the other side, they buzzed me into that room, but then as I'm walking across there and I'm standing at the gate, for whatever reason, they get distracted and they don't buzz me through the second gate. So I'm in this open rotunda with me and this guy, this inmate. And I'm standing there just waiting for him to open the door, and I look over there, glance over there at him, and he's staring right at me. And I'm standing there just kind of waiting and feeling a little bit intimidated. And I glance over there and he's staring right at me and they don't buzz the gate open. And I hear, hey. I'm like, yep. And he goes, preacher, I've been watching you people. I've been watching y'all come and go. And I'm like, yeah. And I got boldness come on me at that point. And I turned and I walked over toward him. And I don't know what them guys in the control room were doing. I don't know where they were even at, but the door didn't open. So I walk over there to him, and he goes, I've been watching you people. And he said, I'm not a very educated man. But he said, I'm smart enough to know one thing. He said, I've been watching you people come and go, and I see you smiling. And I see that there's something in your life that you got that I ain't got. And he goes, and that's when he said, and I'm not a very educated man, but I know it's got something to do with that book you got in your hand, my Bible. And man, then I've just, you talk about an opportunity. So here's how it went down. I said, oh, you are so right. I said, this book that I have in my hand, it's God's word. It's the Bible. And you know what it talks about from beginning to end? In one way or another, it tells us how much God loves us. And I said, I want you to know something today. God loves you. Now, I'm being led of the Holy Spirit while I'm saying these things. I just, all the intimidation, all the fear went away. You can feel intimidated. You're going to feel intimidated. When y'all go to school, if you start to speak up about God, Jesus, something good, even just saying something nice to someone, say, you know, your hair looks nice today, whatever, you're going to feel intimidated. You're going to feel like you shouldn't do the good thing. You shouldn't do the right thing. You're going to feel like you need to keep your mouth shut and just be quiet. That intimidation is going to be there for a fact. As a matter of fact, I would say if it wasn't there, there's probably something up, something wrong, something's out of order. Because anytime God's wanting you to do something that's good that he can use, the enemy's also going to be there trying to intimidate you. So here I am face to face, standing 3 feet away from this big old inmate, and I've been given this opportunity now because of this delay to say something to him about the love of God. Now, what was it that provoked him to even start the conversation? And the answer is because he saw us smiling. He saw the joy. He saw, just not by us preaching at him, he'd never came to the chapel services, but just by the way we just lived our lives, just by the way we carried ourselves, walking around, minding our own business, going to your locker, going to your job. People could probably see Jesus in you by the way you mow your yard. If they're needing to see Jesus and you're carrying Jesus, they're going to see him. You know, Jesus said, "Let your light shine." He said, "No one lights a light and then puts a basket over it." I'm like, "Well, Jesus, I hate to disagree with you, but actually I know a whole lot of people that have a light and they put a basket over it." What he was actually saying was it doesn't make any sense to do that, and no one should ever do that, but sometimes people do. So I'm standing there with this inmate face to face, and I said, "This book tells us all about the love of God." And I said, "I want you to know God loves you." And then I hear something in my mind, in my spirit. I hear this. And I don't even think about it. I just start saying it. I said, "You know, God will never do you wrong." I said, "I know that people have stabbed you in the back and they've done you wrong." And he just got this look on his face like, now when I say someone stabbed you in the back, one of y'all in this room, tell me what you think that means. What does it mean for someone to stab you in the back? Tyler?
They betray you.
They betrayed you.
Mm-hmm. Or lie about you.
Lie about you. Yeah, right? You know what he did? He stood up, which I kind of took a step back. I said, "God will never do you wrong. You know, he'll never mistreat you. I know that people stabbed you in the back." You know what he did? He stood up and he started pulling his shirt up to show me the stab wound scars in his back. He said, "How did you know?" I'm like, I told him, I said, "I didn't know. But God did." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Jesus loves you." And I hear the gate over there go, "Eh." And I'm wanting to finish this conversation. And I'm like, "God loves you." And they're like, "Eh." And then I didn't leave. So they get on the intercom. They go, "You're free to come to the gate now." You know, it's like, oh, man. And so I told him this. I didn't have time to lead him in a prayer or anything else. I said, "But I'm going to tell you this. No matter where you go or what you do, if you're back in your bunk or wherever you're at, I want you to know this. Jesus is right there with you, and he loves you. He knows you. He loves you." I never saw him again. And I don't know what became of that at all. But I would assume that because God led me to do that and that opportunity presented itself, he probably, I would assume, called out to God. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that he got saved. But see, that's not my responsibility. Our job is to speak up when God says speak up, go when he says go, share when he says share. So, Tyler, you had another scripture on your list that goes right hand in hand with what we're talking about here.
This one is 2 Timothy 7, 4.
Chapter 1.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So if you have a divine appointment with someone, which is when God puts you in a place with someone at a certain time, in a certain place, and you have a feeling you need to share the word of God with them, just remember that God has not given you a spirit of fear, and he has given you discipline. And if you use that discipline, it'll make it a lot easier, and you'll learn to discipline your mind to not listen to what the devil is telling you and just go share the word of God with that person anyways.
Amen. So anytime the opportunity to do good's there, the enemy's going to try to use fear tactics to intimidate you. Every time. Expect it. Literally learn to take it as a confirmation that you're on the right track. Because if you weren't headed the right direction, the enemy wouldn't try to oppose you. And, you know, just go back to this. Lock this in your mind. Somebody says, your mind's always going to go, well, what if that's not God? And you just need to lock it in your mind. You go, well, what if it is? Mm-hmm. You know, and I get, you as you learn to just listen and be willing to share like that, you're going to find yourself some amazing, amazing things happening. But remember, if you're feeling fear, did God give you a spirit of fear? How do you know that fear like that doesn't come from God? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if that fear, that intimidation's coming at you, you know this. It didn't come from God. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't come from God, where did it come from? There you go. So I want to, you got something you'd want to add there, Tina?
I was just thinking when you were talking about the spirit of fear, the scripture that came to me, I'm not good with references sometimes, was perfect love casts out fear.
Yep.
So
that's from the book 1 John, perfect love. Where would a person find perfect love? From other people?
Nope.
Not doubt it, right? I mean, we can find love from people. They love you. I love you. Oh, and I love chocolate. Love is devotion. Love is an emotion, but love is more. Love in the sense of God's love is way beyond some emotion. Mm-hmm. God doesn't just feel mushy about you. He's committed to you, devoted to you. That's what love is. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one, though. The perfect love of God drives out all fear. Mm-hmm. If you're experiencing fear, you need to focus on the love. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to take you to a passage of scripture in the Bible real quick. I know we don't have much time, but it's in the Gospel of John, and you may want to read the whole thing for yourself later. I don't know what your day's like, but go to John the 9th chapter, and it's an account. I used to use the word story all the time. You know, it's this story in the Bible, but especially to the younger generation, story means it's made up, and this is not made up. This is a history book. These things happened. And archaeology proves that it happened. And the testimony of the Holy Spirit proves that it happened. Changed lives are proof that this is the book. This book is not just a book, but it is a living, active word of God himself. So in the 9th chapter of John, there's an account where Jesus comes. Let's just look at verse 1 to start with. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, they said, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? They just assumed, because that was their mindset that was taught, that if somebody's blind or somebody's got this disease or somebody's got this problem in their life, that it's because they've done bad things or they're bad people. That was kind of their mindset. Jesus answered, he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, he's not saying that that man and them, those parents had never committed a sin, because that's not scriptural either. Jesus knew that at some point in this man's life, he probably had told a lie. He may have took something that wasn't his. Even though he's blind, that don't stop him from stealing. Wouldn't stop him from telling a lie. Wouldn't stop him from having a bad attitude, talking back to his parents, kids. He said, "This man." He wasn't saying this guy had never sinned. He was saying that personal sin is not what brought on this condition. And so Jesus literally, if you keep reading on it, Jesus literally, he heals the guy. He literally bends down. Verse 6 says, having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva and put it in the man's eyes. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Does that make sense to y'all? I mean, if you're blind, I got a cure for blindness. I'll spit in the mud and pick up some mud and put it in your eyes. Like, dude, if you wasn't blind before, he might be now, you know? Like, that doesn't make sense at all. You know why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, listen to this. This is powerful. You don't want to miss this. He's not trying to make sense. He's trying to make faith. And faith comes by hearing. Jesus did that because he heard the Holy Spirit tell him to do that. It didn't make sense at all, but Jesus still did it anyway. And so when he did it, it worked because it was ordained of the Holy Spirit of God. Some people think that Jesus healed people because he's God in the flesh. I agree he's God in the flesh, 100%, never stopped being God. But the Bible says he laid down his glory and became flesh and blood. He only did the things he did through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the same power that we as Christians have today. The same Holy Spirit that leads Jesus to say things that doesn't always make sense, do things that doesn't always make sense, is the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. And when we will do what God wants us to do, or say what God wants us to say, or go where God wants us to go, if you didn't go to that breakout the second time, if you didn't go the first time, you wouldn't have experienced that. And then the second time, it's almost like you were being tested. Will he obey me and will he go back? Yeah. And he did. You know, if you don't do that, and then if you don't respond, it's like you missed that, what Tyler a while ago called it, a divine appointment.
And I know it was a divine appointment because there were so many things, like the odds of me being in that place with that person at that time were like so low, because I had an option to stay and talk to him or just leave, and I was about to leave. And I just turned around and looked at him and I was like, okay, I'll talk. So like it was that close from not getting that confirmation from God. So like,
every little opportunity to obey, I called it little, but really there's no such thing as a little opportunity to obey. It may seem little to you, but it's important that we just follow that nudging, that leading, that drawing of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus encounters this guy, and it's a divine appointment. And I mean, he heals him by listening to the Holy Spirit. Then the guy's healed, and it's Sabbath day, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they hated that because they thought, you ain't supposed to do that on the Sabbath. So they began to question the guy about it. And they, first of all, they don't even believe that he really got healed. And then they think, well, he's not really the blind man that sat out there. And he goes, yes, I am. And other people came, and he said, is this him? And they go, well, I don't know, but it sure looks like him. Well, they keep probing him. They keep, you know, bullying him, literally trying to get information out of him. Who was it healed you on the Sabbath? And he, listen, this is important. He goes, I don't know. I don't know his name. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. Let me spit in the mud and heal your eye. It didn't go down that way. Jesus just encountered him, and he didn't even know who Jesus was. Now listen, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. He doesn't know his name.
Right.
He doesn't know that Jesus is the Messiah. He doesn't know any of that. The passage tells us all this. But those religious leaders are badgering him, and they're badgering him, and they say, well, maybe this man's a sinner because he heals on the Sabbath, because, you know, if he was really a godly man, he wouldn't do what goes against our religious laws. And this man answers them and says this, and this is verse 25, if you want to look at it. It's really powerful. It's John 9:25. The man replied to him, and he goes, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? He said, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or he ain't a sinner. Well, he didn't know it was Jesus. He goes, I don't know if the man who healed my eyes is a sinner or not a sinner, but I do know this. He said this, but one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. How are they going to argue with that? There's no argument against your personal experience with God. That's why in the book of Revelations it says that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. Not the word of his testimony or her testimony, the word of their own personal experience, having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's how you overcome the enemy. So you can't ever stop sharing what God's done for you. Because you may be the one that God can use to help someone else experience Jesus. This man didn't even know who Jesus was. And at that point, he didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. But one thing he did know, I was blind, but I'm not anymore. There's one thing I know, and you probably know too. I was lost. Lost is when you don't know where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know when you're going to get there. If I said, we're going on a trip, and you said, well, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know when I'm going, and I don't know how I'm going, you know what I'd say? I'd say, you lost. You're just wandering around. Mm-hmm. I used to be, and you probably did too. We were wandering around. We were lost. But God showed up in our lives. And he may have used the... Not everybody gets saved in church when the preacher says, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, raise your hand. And on the count of, you know, it doesn't always work like that. I honestly, personally, I believe the most powerful things that God does are done outside the walls of the church. Mm-hmm. And then we, the church, need to bring that passion into the building and worship together. So I want to encourage you today. Obey the Holy Spirit. If you've got it, share it. Don't be intimidated. You're not too young. For you young people, God wrote in the Word, he said, let no one despise you because of your youth, but be an example to the other believers by what you do, what you say, and how you live. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too anything. You just need to be willing. Amen.
Amen.
You want to pray to dismiss us? Thank the Lord for the time together and pray over the people.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to do this and just share your word, Lord. Please be with everyone listening, and Lord, please help them take this to heart and just open up their hearts to you, Lord. Please protect everyone that's listening and just show them your love in a different way, Lord, that they've never experienced it before. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my daughter, Josie Dobbs, and from Pastor Dwight Shepherd and Tyler, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.